looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. We are starting our week three of the entire month of self-love. Now, my goodness, I have to share this. On the weekend, I did a coaching certification program. I am a life coach, but you know what? We always have to get better, just like with self-love. And it was with David Essel, and you know him because he's been on the show about three different times now. And I'm telling you, it was fate because it just goes more and more and more into really coming back to being about self-love. And so today is a really neat question and topic. And I feel like it's the most perfect topic for today because it's all about awakening, being awakened. And why this was so neat is I feel like I am becoming more and more awakened to really what self-love means and why it's so important for us to all find out where we're resisting it, where it's not flowing, how do we tap into it, and find out, because that's where, if you're struggling, if you've got challenges in your life, I can promise you it's going to come back to self-love. It's not them, it's you, it's not you. It's not the conditions, it's not the environment. It really is about us and where we're coming from, which is self-love. And so today, I'm really, really, really excited about today because one of my passions, my everything has always been, I do use tapping, EFT Freedom Technique tapping and Ho'oponopono for my just balancing, just centering. And we have a very special lady who is one of the co-authors in What Self-Love Got to Do With It. Her name is Corby Furrow. And you have probably seen her on Facebook because, my goodness, this woman is fearless. She just gets there and she talks about the most wonderful thing. She has this kind of voice that makes you feel like everything's going to be all right. So I'm really happy to bring her on. I'm going to share a little bit about her with you. Corby has found her passion as a transformational catalyst. She's an accredited and certified emotional freedom technique practitioner and certified executive coach and chartered professional of human resources. Her passion is helping people obtain a profound, lasting level of healing. Most of our subconscious beliefs and emotional blocks come from our experiences growing up. When we can see them in a different light, the perspective also changes and growth happens. There are so many delicious words in that paragraph about you, Corby. I want to like sit on every one of them there. Well, stepping into the entrepreneurial world was a huge mind shift for Corby after leaving the corporate world. She can't imagine being anywhere else now. Everything happens for a reason. And if Corby hadn't lost her job, she wouldn't have found EFT or experienced the profound healing that has since happened. The people, the energy, and the freedom are what life is about. It's embracing the moment, letting go, and trusting that there is a plan. Even if you fall, it will be okay. Welcome, Corby. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm just so honored to be here and just part of this whole What Self-Love Got to Do With It month.
Oh, it's been incredible. And the book is being featured in Om Times Magazine right now under the book spotlight. So if anybody wants to go and look at that, it always looks better on a computer, like a 2-page spread, and it shows all of your co-authors' happy faces. And
yeah, so awesome.
Now, just before I jump in here, I do want to just mention this because you really do quite a few. I love that you do so many videos on Facebook. Mm. Like people really get a chance to. You, of all people, have actually shown me how important it is to do that. Like, I get to see the expression in your face, the feeling in your face, the concern, the love. Like, you're incredible.
Oh, thank you.
So if anybody wants to say, I want to say her name is Corby Furrow, and I want to say it's CorbyFurrow. So just please, everybody, go there. We'll talk about all the how they can get a hold of you in other ways, but let's let everybody know why they want to reach out to you, because you've gone through quite a journey of self-love.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I in the early days, you know, I've read all the books, you know, the Robin Sharma's, Tony Robbins, Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, and they were all good and helping, but there was always something not quite getting me to where I needed to go. And I never knew what that missing piece was, you know, and I was a very positive person. But what I found was, you know, positives and affirmations are wonderful, but if when doing some of those, you know, that little voice is going, well, no, you're not quite good enough, or all those things, and we just kind of wash over them, those actually affirm the negativity of it. So until we get to those little voices that are hindering actually our progress into the positive realm, if you will, then we still have stuff that keeps coming up over and over, and we're wondering why, you know, I've dealt with this, why is this keep coming up? So I think it's important, you know, and that was part of my journey. I was very positive, but I always felt that, you know, I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't smart enough or whatever it was. When I had to really look in at myself, it was easier to look outward for that approval, for that acceptance, for something, you know. And so when, when I lost my job, then that brought that, you know, full blown into my face.
And, is that now, that's something that we'll have to let people know. They'll have to read the chapter, find everything out. But
yes.
you're a fellow Canadian, and
yes.
and you are actually in an industry that we all know, but meaning everybody thinks that you can always get a job if you're in Canada because, you know, we have so many resources, natural resources. We think it's endless. But there can come a time where you may think you're a little bit safe and then go, oh, and none of those little voices about our self-esteem say anything because conditions and environments are supporting us. But then when they fall, yeah, so you had a situation without saying exactly, because I want people to read your chapter.
Yes.
Did you choose to lose that job? Did you choose to leave that career?
No. But, the thing was I wasn't satisfied anymore, but I wasn't brave enough to say, you know, I should get out of this because we get caught in the comforts of our comfort, you know, because it's what I know how to do. I've got good money. I've got good pension. Why would any sane person want to leave that, right? Even if it's not fitting you anymore, because as we learn and grow and develop, you know, where we are doesn't always fit anymore. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. I wasn't willing to just leave it. So it, you know, the universe has a way of changing or shifting our direction when we need a new way of going. And that's what happened to me. I got the bump out because I was too comfortable being in my comfort, that I wasn't willing to take a risk and do something different.
What makes somebody be so afraid of taking a risk? I mean, I guess I understand, like, if you got, you go, well, no, actually, let's dive into that one. So you've got it. Anybody right now has a career. They went to school for it. They're working at it. It's not the most horrible thing. They can deal with it, you know, but they are thinking, I feel like there's just more, but why would I throw all this away? What prevents us from taking risks?
Well, I think there's a couple things because a lot of times it's our programming. You know, a lot of times we're told, you know, be thankful for what you have. You know, you spent all this time and money. Why would you want to do anything different? You've got the security. You know what's going to happen. So I think we're conditioned by our society of what the beliefs are around that. You know, when we don't know, or we only know what we know. So when we think about going into the unknown, we don't know the factors that are going to come into it. So our fear creeps up. And what fear does is then throw all these thoughts into the future because really fear does not exist in the future. It only exists in the past because it's based on past experience. Mm-hmm. So it projects it into the future. So then we have all these fears and worries about all these things that could happen, but it doesn't mean that they're going to happen. So then that would hold us back because it's kind of it's better to be with the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's, you know, what we see in coaching is because even if something's not good for us or that we're not happy in, we know how to function within that. You know,
yeah.
So when we don't know how to function, then you get into that discomfort piece and that unknown piece. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's an easy transition, but it's just that transition that causes that fear.
Isn't that so interesting the way you said that and talking about the devil we know that we don't know, it's like staying in a relationship even though you know it's not your highest, best one, but it's because you don't, it could be worse out there or you just, it's almost like it's better to feel uncomfortable than think that you could be happy. It's too scary.
Absolutely.
To think that we could be happy. Now, did you think at the time when you're in this new situation that you would just pick yourself right back up and just keep do, like just walk through the motions and this is what I have to do? Or were, did you have an emotional time?
Oh, yeah, there was definitely a big emotional time because it was just felt like, there I was, you know, I've been proven after 25 years that, you know, I know nothing, I can do nothing. I was just basically crushed because that was the pivotal moment where it all came out, right? And even though I had these great skills, I couldn't see it myself. You know, even, and I've had great accomplishments and a lot of support along the way, but I wasn't willing to see that for myself. I was always looking for that external thing. Who can I help? What can I do? So it wasn't looking in, you know, and even when people say, well, what do you do? And it's like, well, I don't know, because it was just what I did. You know, when you do something well and you can do it, you just do it. You know, it's like you forget how all the baby steps that took you to get there. So when somebody says, break it down, you know, it's like, well, I don't know. And I've heard many women say that. It's like, what do you do? And they're very good at what they do. And they're like, well, I don't know. I just do my stuff, you know. And here they're raising millions of dollars for charities and different things. And it's like, wow, you do a lot of stuff, you know. You need to take note of that.
Oh, and highlight it. And it's interesting when you say you had a lot of support. I love hearing you say that, because when I was reading through some of the chapter, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is like there's so many things that it weren't supporting you, relationships.
No.
And it's so, when you had said, here it was after 25 years in a career and you got bumped out, it was proof. You use that word. Here's proof that all those feelings of, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this, we're there. Now, it also is going on in a relationship for you as well.
Yeah.
Like another whole, that's a huge area of life. Oh my God.
Oh, it is. And here's the thing is, when we have these beliefs, our brain goes about proving it. So our thoughts are very powerful. So when we believe that, then we start doing things and getting into situations that will prove out our belief about ourselves. That's why it's so important to have positive affirmations to deal with our stuff, because we will go about proving it, and it'll prove out in our relationships at work, relationships with ourselves, and relationships with our source. And so that's why it is so important to take note of that and say, is this working for me? And does this belief still fit for me? But because, you know, and the problem with me is because I was trying to be so independent and do it on my own and not have emotions with it, and I was blocking the help that was coming because I couldn't see it. I mean, it was there, but I wasn't willing to pick it up or use it to help me, because I was so worried about letting people in, and I had to do it myself.
I want to ask you that. So you just said there was help coming to you, but you were blocking it. What would be some of the examples for other people as well as for yourself that you went through that you now can recognize as a coach, that we are being offered that help, we can help, and that, but what is that help we're being offered, and how are we blocking it?
Well, how we block any kind of help, and whatever that might be for us, because it's going to be different for everybody else, but whatever our traumas, whatever our pains are, we actually look through, if you will, a lens. So we put on our pain glasses and we look through it, and that's how we see the current reality, which has nothing to do as the old pain point was. But here I'm looking through these lenses, and it's like, I don't want to be hurt. I don't, you know, if I let people in, they're going to hurt me. If I accept their help, I'm going to be weak. So even though they're there helping me, I see it as, oh, that means I'm weak. That's whatever. So I'm holding them back rather than saying, oh, this situation isn't like my previous situation. They're just coming from a place of love for me. And if I would let them in, it doesn't mean I'm weak, but I couldn't see that, you know, and it took the healing journey to see, be able to say, oh, I was supported here, but if I was to let them in, then everything I've been fighting against isn't true. Then what? Because that's a whole new way of being.
Ah, yeah. There's a lot, like a whole onion layering there, isn't it?
Exactly. It is.
And sometimes people, listeners right now, if it's, maybe it's thinking, whether you're thinking, okay, well, I'm weak if I accept help, but I know one of the things I used to think was, oh, people don't have time to help me. I don't want to take up their time. And so that might be something somebody else, like, that's a worthiness thing. Like, I'm not worthy of their time to help me. Why would, you know, they've got more important things to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Brené Brown, and I don't know the exact quote, but she said, like, when we refuse help from others, just as, you know, we are dissing them, you know, because we're rejecting them, and yet we want to help them in the same token, you know, so it's like we have to be able to accept that help to give that help.
It's not kind of neat. It's kind of like your own, if we reject the help from our inner being, that we are, like you said, we're dissing ourselves on the inside, going, no. So here you are, you found yourself in a situation, well, you found yourself in a few situations that really were creating some pain. How how did you go from in that pain? Like, I always want to go do that turnaround with all of you, because there's a moment that you are in such pain and you feel really crappy and you're not feeling great about yourself, but then something happens that does turn you around. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was finding, like, I was at a seminar or whatever, and I met these two lovely ladies who had this program called the Evolving Freedom Program. And they said it was all about healing you. I can't even remember what they said, but I had such a pull that it was like, I have to do whatever it is this is. And I had no idea what it was, but I just knew I was seeking that healing for myself. I knew I needed something, and it was what I was doing wasn't working.
Well, how did you even hear about the evolving? It was an evolving technique.
Well, I was lucky enough. I had an outplacement counselor, which was great. And she had great connections. And so she was connecting me with coaches and that. Because, I mean, I've always been a coach throughout my whole life, whether it's, you know, doing sports or teaching, you know, so that's been a consistent. So coaching people is just another layer onto it. So she set me up with a lady she knew in Toronto. And so I flew out there.
Yay!
And in that time, this is where I met these people. And it was just amazing. That transformed my life when I, you know, I signed up for a 6-month program, and it was like, I had no idea what I'm doing, but I had to do it. And that was the pivotal moment that I started this healing journey. And it, you know, it transformed my life, gave me clarity. And the passion and the purpose that I have now is transforming other people's lives.
Well, I'm so glad.
So powerful.
I'm so glad you said that, because as we will go to commercial, but that's a huge thing to sit on, because when we come back, Corby's actually going to share with us what were those techniques, how they work, how she does such transformational things with this technique. So when we come back, you are going to learn this for yourself.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Light on Living. I'm Lisa Berry, and I have Corby Furrow with me today. Just really excited to be going through this, because we can all sit back and think, okay, self-love, I need some more of that, or self-love, I don't have enough of that, or self-love, I have tons of that. But there are different ways and techniques that can help us peel the layers back of what's preventing us from accessing that self-love and really digging in. And so Corby's here, and I'm so excited that she is doing this with us today. I want to fit just in that moment of sharing with everybody that you have been just gone through a 25-year career, wow, loss, change, here we are, I've got to do something. And in there's a moment that you realize, oh, it's like something's got to give here, something's, I have to do something. And then through help with the what kind of counselor that you've mentioned?
The word's gone out of my head. Transition counselor.
right. So, and then she's like, you know what? There's this possibility of these coaches, because sometimes we really do want to listen to what sometimes a lot of people will say. Hey, why don't you speak to so and so? Or I worked with this person. Why don't you try? And it may not be that person or that route you go, but it guides you places, and it's important to follow that winding path around. To well, we'll start with you. So here you go. You get tickets to go to Toronto. Yay! And as you said, you just resonate. What was it when you got there and you started listening to these words? What happened that clicked for you?
I think once I started the training, like I said, they started doing emotional freedom techniques training, and all of a sudden things that I had dealt with started coming up again. I'm like, what the heck, you know?
Oh.
I've done my work on this. I'm good. Like, why is this coming up? And so once I worked through with EFT, then it was like, now it's done. And the difference and the shift in my body, the feeling that I held about it, it was amazing. It was kind of like, what just happened?
Yeah,
you know,
so
I get that reaction with a lot of clients too. It's like, what just happened?
Right. So why do we think we've got rid of it? Like, say we do something, I don't know, I'm angry at so-and-so for doing this all those years ago, so I decide to write them a forgiveness letter and never send it, but we say we write it. And then, like, even 2 months later, you're like, I'm so angry with them still.
Exactly, yeah. Like, in our society, we're trained to numb ourselves, right, to disassociate, to just get over it, and we do that,
yeah.
You know, and we're very good at it because, I mean, it's a survival instinct, right? There's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, we've learned that from a very young age, because everything is about survival, and it's how do we function in this world, and that's how we need to do it, you know. And so when we don't allow whatever to happen to us, like especially like traumas of some kind, so a trauma happens in the body when it doesn't have a resolve. Then it gets stuck in the body, right? Because if you get, say somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're like, that bugger, and you give them the finger and you're driving along, but you know, and you kind of shake, but you didn't get hit. So it's not a trauma that stays in your body. You might shake a bit, which is the body's natural response to dissipating that adrenaline that actually came into the body. So, I mean, that's not a trauma that stays with you. Say you get hit, then you might have trauma in you that doesn't get resolved because it was unexpected. You didn't have a plan of how to get out of it. So it stays within our body. And the traumas can vary from person to person, right? Because it can be something very little or something very major. And so we keep it, yeah, and we store that in our body. And when we store it in our body, it stops and blocks, especially if you don't allow it to dissipate. It blocks our energies. If you think of it like a flashlight, when we are shining our light, the batteries are in a line at the same way, and we can shine the light. When we get dysregulated, the batteries are in backwards, so the light's not going to come on. You know, so it's about getting them in the right way.
I like that car example for a second. So I'm driving along, and somebody is, I can see them, they're going to hit me, and then boom, they hit me. I kind of go, squish up my, you know, body and my muscles, and they get tense and whatnot. I do have that adrenaline, but I actually may be a little bit hurt. That's trauma. Now I'm not resolved, but maybe they're hit and run, and they go. And now do I need them to have the resolve, or does the resolve come from in me?
Yeah, the resolve is always with us. It's always, we like to think it's other people's resolve, but it's always internal.
You know, this is really important.
Anything, you know, every time when we coach, we think it's somebody else's fault, or it's they're doing this to me, that to me. That's just us being in a victim role, right? And it's like when we get to recognize that within ourselves, then how do we become empowered through that? And that's the whole thing is with EFT, I found in coaching, is that we can find where we're staying stuck and playing those old patterns because they are a habit from before. You know, just as a car accident, say you are hurt or injured, and say you have to go on disability, well then, there was a study done in 2010 saying that when they did EFT working on people who weren't healing, they could lower the pain level by 2/3 because what they found was two-thirds of an injury, or this particular study, was two-thirds were emotional, one-third was physical. Yeah, or whatever it might be that's restoring, and which gets in the way of healing. You know, and even myself, I had an injury when I was bucked off a horse once, and, you know, I hurt my whole body. And then so fast forward, I had a bulged disc here, I don't know, not that long ago. And so I was tapping through that, and the pain that it was associated with the tapping through the disc was bringing up pain and things that I hadn't resolved from when I got hurt with the horse. And I was really fascinated with that, because I thought, how is that even correlating? But my body was reacting to the pain that I was in.
Oh,
it was very
goodness.
Interesting to find that out.
And I love it. How long ago? Yeah. Like, when was that horse? How old were you?
Oh, the horse was probably like 20 years ago.
Okay,
and,
so yeah, just to show you that it's timeless here. Like,
You know, and we think, yeah, well, that's 20 years ago, 25 years ago. What does it have to do with anything? It has everything to do with anything, because our brains store everything. And you think about it, when we disassociate and we keep our emotions off, we are run by 5%. Which is our, you know, if you think of our head as the 5%, and then the 95% is our body. And we are run by that 95% as much as we think that we aren't, because our actions are all subconscious. The only time we're present is, you know, think about it, if we go back to car example, when you're learning how to drive a car, you know, and you're like, okay, push the gas pedal, and sometimes it'll be too hard to, you know, and you're jerking the car, and you're like looking at all the mirrors, and you're just focused. So you're in that moment.
Yeah.
Fast forward a little bit, and you just hop in, turn off, you go, zoom, and sometimes you'll be driving and think, oh, did I even stop at that stop sign, or did I go?
Right.
Because it's just automatic, so our subconscious takes over. So you can think of it the same way. If we get triggered by something, our subconscious takes over at whatever, you know, time and frame in our life that this trauma happened that was similar. So we're like a computer. We go, oh, where do we have this situation? This is how we react. So it's taking over, you know, and that's why some people, I don't know, if they get mad at something, you're thinking, whoa, what are they so bent out of shape for? It was just a little thing. But to them, it's a big thing, because it triggered whatever they were holding emotionally within their body.
Right. So trigger. Okay. I love that word. Now, okay, because everybody gets that. Okay. It's trigger. Something's like triggered you. If you went from this switch to that switch, like whoosh. Okay. And you're like, what? But now, in EFT, we have trigger. No, they're not called triggers. They're called tapping points. Sorry. Can you explain to us what? Okay, so here's a fun thing. You just mentioned, I love your horror story, because you had a bulged disc. You know, you're suffering. You end up tapping on it, which we're going to say what that is and how that's. And then you have this reminder of back in the day, and you're like, oh my God, now I got to deal with that. Can you actually walk us through what tapping is, and why that would even stir that up, and how you got through it? And I'm hoping your back is good, by the way. I hope you're not in pain.
Oh, yes. Okay. No, everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah, so what EFT does is emotional freedom techniques. It allows, it deals with the inside of the brain at the amygdala. So it's the fight or flight center. And so when we get aroused by something that we're triggered at, you know, whether we're sad or angry or whatever it is that makes us anxious or panicked, that center is set off. So when that actually happens in our biology, like the blood in our frontal cortex starts to drain, the cortisol starts to fill our body with adrenaline, and you know, the serotonin gets stripped out of our stuff, because we're ready, everything's being pooled to our body to flight or fight, right? Because we're getting ready for whatever this fearful thing is. And so in the, you know, days gone by, we would used to be able to run away from whatever the dangers were. But as we've evolved, you know, we don't run away anymore. We sit at our desk, or we stress more, or we have panic attacks, and things are getting worse because we don't have a way to dissipate what's going on. So what EFT does now, when you start using EFT, it starts calming that amygdala back down. So we start getting more resource for ourselves. So the blood starts coming back in our head. We start to dissipate that cortisol and adrenaline. We start to bring more serotonin, bring the good DHL hormones back in. So now we're resourced to face something. So what EFT, the goal of EFT is to widen what's called our window of tolerance, what we can handle in a stress situation without going to that, I can't handle everything, I got to run away, or to that, oh my gosh, pull the covers over my head, I don't want to get out of bed. You know? So that's allowing us to get what we can handle. And the bigger our window, the more that can come at us, and we're going to face those fears or triggers in a calm body, which means we can face them with thought, with all our resources that will enable us to deal with it. Whereas the other way is we're just reacting to it.
Oh, that's such a good word, reacting, like how many times we bounce around from thing to thing and in reactionary mode, which mm-hmm. causes so, like, our bodies just don't even know how to handle it. And you're right, that's what caused. So we've got this tapping calms the brain, or I'll use that as a broad term. and then it allows us that time and space and breath work and just, like, getting out of reactionary state so we can,
exactly.
we can do some stuff. Okay. And so,
yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned, sorry, breath work too.
Oh, yeah.
When we are in those states, we tend to hold our breath, to breathe shallow. And I mean, breath is such a huge component of our well-being.
Mm-hmm. That's oxygenating and calming. That's actually, I know that when a lot of people are all on, you know, alkaline water, but that one of the fastest and easiest and most effective and proven ways to alkalize the body is to hyperventilate.
Yeah.
You can literally change that blood chemistry. So it's good to really do that breath work. And so when, you went to this event, did they do tapping right then and there at the event?
No, I have to go back and come again. About a month later, we started, and it was literally transformational because it took me out of being, you know, in my story and being a victim of it to, oh, everything's controlled by me, darn it. It was much easier when everybody else was at fault, you know. And so once I realized that everything stems from me, then that's when shifts started to happen and the healing started to happen. So like I said, things that I thought I dealt with then were really dealt with because the test is when you have a trigger or something and there's no reaction, it's like, wow, okay, now I can see what's in front of me as it is, not through the lens of the past triggers and hurts.
I was going to ask you, like, how do we know when it is? But that's our measuring stick. That's, you know what, so that you could say, it's funny because I tap and there are situations in, you know, past relationships in my life that I can actually, like, just, it brings nothing, no emotion. I go, yep, that was something that happened.
and that's how powerful it is. Like, you can take something that's really horrific and now you deal with it. And I think it's Joe Dispenza says that once you take the emotional charge out of the memory, you have wisdom. Because now you can use what you've learned from that versus being triggered by it, because now you're in it. You can't use the gold nuggets that are from there. And there is always little nuggets that we can learn from.
Oh, I love that. Beautiful, actually. Oh, my goodness. Well, so we do have lots of time. We have 5 minutes to go to commercial. So did you want to run through, because we're going to do some tapping, everyone. But let's get set up before the commercial break. And explain where, if somebody was going to follow along, what are we doing and how easy is this and where can they be and what position are they sitting in, standing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, the beauty of this is we are all equipped with this. So in the moment, you can regulate your system, you know, and that's the beauty of using EFT. So what we do is what we have is there's three levels of tapping. And the one that you would use in to regulate yourself is either a bronze level, which is your basic tapping. So what that does is using what we call the karate chop point or the side of the hand, you know, so that piece where you would try and chop that piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the karate pan. So, and it doesn't matter what side you do, and you want to just tap with your fingers, and it's just a rhythmic, you know, just tapping on the side of your hand. And you want enough pressure so that you can feel it. Not that you're going to hurt yourself, but you don't want to just kind of tap it where it's so light that you hardly know that it's there.
Because we, and just, I'm so glad you mentioned that about the how hard to tap or not tap, because we are activating a point. We are. Like if we do it too lightly, it's we're not going to be tapping in.
No, it's exactly. It's not going to bring it. And if it's elderly people or people who have sensitivity to your hands, you can always just squeeze that point too.
Oh.
And it's just as effective.
Oh.
And especially like, you know, it's a great one if you're visiting people in an old folks home and you're holding their hands and they just want a bit of relief. It's okay to just gently touch their hand and squeeze it, you know, to give some relief.
That's so cute.
You know, there's lots of things that you can do. So that's our first point that we would tap at. And I guess I should say before we start tapping, you want to just take a breath and just notice if there's any tension in your body, what's going on, so that you can take a measure of, you know, how things shift for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones is where your eyebrow joins, like in the middle of your head here, on either side, there's two points. So you can either do both eyebrow points or one side or the other side. Again, it doesn't matter. It's whatever you're comfortable with. Like I said, I used to only tap, you know, one eyebrow point, but I tend to tap both now, and it's just personal preference. Okay. And then the next point we move to is called the side of the eye. So it's just, you know, on that bony part as you look at your eye, on the outer edges of the eye.
Okay.
So again, either side is fine. And you, usually if you use two fingers, that's the best.
Oh, okay.
And then if we go, when you're looking straight ahead, and if you look where your pupils kind of line up, you want to just put your finger kind of on that bony part, just under where, if you're looking straight ahead, just underneath that point.
Okay.
And it's
lots around
there
the
again.
Eyes.
Yeah, you want to, yeah, lots around the eyes. You want to, again, we want to hit about 5 to 7. I don't worry about counting it because so many people get, oh, I've got to, you know, do the right number. It's just
right. Yes. Okay.
And it'll
yeah.
be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Then the next one is under the nose, kind of, you know, in that little divots that our face has. I don't know. There's probably a name for that.
Okay.
And so that's under the nose. The next one you go to is in the divot of our chin, you know, where it kind of dips in.
Okay.
We want to tap there. Again, 5 to 7 times or more. The more is better. And then the next one is our collarbone one. And if you hold your arms tight to the side of your body, and then bend your arms up and have your hands come up to your where your collarbones are.
Okay.
And should your fingers tips should just land underneath your collarbone, kind of in that meaty part.
I gotcha. Okay.
And so you can either again do one side, the other side, or both sides at the same time.
Okay.
And then the next one, this is where it gets weird looking. This is where I thought, oh, what have I gotten myself into when I started seeing them do this? Is under your arm. It's about 4 inches from your underarm, kind of mid chest line. On the side of your body.
Okay.
And you might notice that some of these points are tender because we hold emotional stress in a lot of these points.
Mm.
And then the last one is on the back third or back two thirds of our head because
gotcha.
There's a whole bunch of meridians that come on there.
Now, I'm glad we got through points perfectly because we are going to go to commercial. Now, everybody,
awesome.
Focus on those spots. And when we come back, we're going to actually tap on these points and just start releasing through the meridians.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Right back to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. We've got Corby Furrow here with us from What Self-Love Got to Do With It, and she is helping us tap. using tapping, EFT, emotional freedom technique tapping. And just before, I know we did the points, but I wanted to just ask you, you mentioned the word meridians. Why is this so important that we're tapping on these spots, and what do meridians have to do with it?
Yeah, meridians are where we like hold our energy, and it allows the flow of things to happen. You know, this is like acupuncture, only it's pressure.
Right.
So we're using, you know, and we just use the order that I go through just for simplicity, because when we have a pattern, it's easier to follow. It doesn't matter if you miss a spot. It doesn't matter if you do it in a different order. But we just found this is kind of the easiest to just get people through. So it's not, like, say, there's a lot of forgiveness in this.
I love that.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And the nice thing is, if people think, well, I don't want to tap, I've got people I work with, I've got a few executives, they say, oh, I tap all the time, but it's underneath the table, because we are built to help regulate ourselves. Again, we are self-sufficient. So if you think of meridians, if you hold your hand out as if you're going to shake somebody's hand, and you run your hand down the tops of your fingers, those are where our meridian points also come out, is on our fingers. So if you tap or squeeze on the sides of your fingers, kind of where the little moon of your finger goes, you can also squeeze on each of those fingers and just take deep breaths, and you it'll get you through and help regulate you, because it has a similar effect to the big meridian points. And like I said, I've got executives that I'll tap. They say, yes, I tap all day underneath my desk if I've got a big meeting. Nobody knows they're doing it, and it's great.
No, I love it. It's a way to awaken with it. So let's run through. Let's take something right now, because we are talking about self-love. What is a big worry, thought, fear that a lot of people come to, and it really does boil down to self-worth?
When we dig down, it's always I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy enough. You know, those are the big ones, and that's when to get to those, you've done a lot of deep diving.
Okay,
there's a lot of things that get into that, but that's okay. We can still use that.
Okay,
a lot of times. So what we would do, first we'll go in. If say you've got to give a speech, or you've got an exam, or you've got something that's going to create anxiety for you,
yes,
I would suggest is we just you take a deep breath. Notice again, like I said before, where's the tensions? How am I feeling? Am I able to fill my lungs with breath? And if not, then we would just start tapping. So we would just tap at the karate point for a few minutes, tap at the eyebrow point, and just as you're doing it, just take a deep breath. So just tap and breathe, and then side of the eye. And the same thing, just breathe as you're going along, underneath the eye, underneath the nose, under the chin. Again, take a breath, under the collarbone, under the arm, and top of the head. And I'm going through this a little bit fast, but
we
would just take a breath and just check in and see, do I feel calmer? How am I feeling? And then if that didn't work, just do it again. Because those are easy, because sometimes people think, well, I don't know what to say.
And like that, I've never heard that one before, that you could just go through it and just be aware. Just be aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, like, some people say, I've tried tapping, I don't get results. Well, usually what happens is that we're doing what's called global. So you're tapping on just, you know, today I just feel crappy all over. And it's like, okay, but let's get specific. Today, you know, I feel crappy because, you know, I don't know, I missed the bus and then, you know, missed my presentation. And we get deeper. And then it'll usually feel, I feel this awful in my stomach. I feel, you know, so the more specific you can get, the better. And it's got to be yours. So what we do is called a silver level tap, which would be, we can give you scripts for it. So if anybody wants a script for something, we can give you one. But a lot of times scripts will be helpful, because it'll give you a skeleton of what to do, kind of the guidelines to what to do. Then you've got to fill in your specifics for it. So what we do there is, on the side of our hand, we do what's called a setup stage phrase. So what this is doing in our hippocampus, that's where our fears come in, and we compare it to the current situation. So we're trying to correlate them in our brain, right? We're adding, like I said, we transfer our fears into the current situation. So in our brain, it's already doing that. So what we do by using EFT is disrupt that comparison, so that it no longer says, oh, this is the same event, when it's not the same event. So we're breaking that connection. So we say, even though I'm feeling not good enough, I acknowledge and accept that's how I'm feeling. So it's saying, even though this is a situation in this moment, I acknowledge and accept it in this moment.
Ooh, okay. Oh, I like that. And that's a different one that I've heard. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people think acceptance, well, I can't accept that because I don't want it. Why should I accept it? And it's not meaning I accept that this is what's happening and it's going to be there forever. It's saying, in this point of time, in this current present moment, this is what's going on. You know, because now we're going to change that. So we would say that three times. So again, we would start tapping on our side of the hand. So even though I'm feeling not good enough, I acknowledge and accept that's how I'm feeling in this moment. Mm. And then again, even though I'm not feeling good enough, I acknowledge and accept that in this current moment. And then as we're, sorry, go ahead.
I want, this is so fun to highlight, is because you're actually right then, right by saying that, we are all stopping the resistance. Like, I don't want to feel like this. All right. I've never felt like this before. It's not right. It wouldn't be accepted by others if I felt like this. Like, if you're thinking back to your mind. So that is such, you know what, Corby, I love this. I've actually only, and I've done a lot of tapping, I've only ever heard that I love and accept myself. But I love that you're saying, it's not that, it's the situation. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and a lot of times, because when we say I love and accept myself, a lot of people are like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, even though people think that they love and accept themselves, that's why I like to soften it till they actually get to that point where they love and accept themselves. Because here's the thing, you know, a lot of us do so many good things, like we'll, you know, take breaks and yoga and all this stuff, which is great, but it still doesn't mean we love ourselves at the core.
Right.
You know, and that's where, when we can get our core into it, then all those things even enhance us, you know, more.
Right. Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah. So say, even though I'm feeling anxiety in this moment, even though I'm freaking out, I'm stressing out.
I accept and acknowledge.
That's how I'm feeling. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so go on with the anxiety. Then you would go up to the eyebrow point, say, feeling this anxiety. And then you would repeat it. Like, so if I'm working with somebody, then you would just repeat it. Mm-hmm. At the eyebrow point, I go, feeling this anxiety. Then you would say, feeling this anxiety. Then we go to the side of the eye, this anxiety. And then underneath the eye, feeling it in my stomach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, underneath the nose, feeling this anxiety. Underneath the chin, all this anxiety, feeling it in my stomach. In the collarbone, just feeling this anxiety. Under the arm, feeling out of control, or whatever, you know, whatever you're feeling, you want to be specific to it, on top of the head, feeling this anxiety. And then just take a breath and just notice what shifted. And often what happens is thoughts will start to pop in our head, or another pain will happen. And so that's the body's way of like, oh, we're starting to deal with this. So here it comes. And so a thought will come in, and it's like, people are like, well, I have no idea how this relates, but this is what my thought is. And we follow that down, and it usually is the nugget that we're looking for, that, when I was 7 years old, this happened because this made me feel like this, which is, you know, how I'm kind of feeling today.
Right. Okay, I'm writing this down. Follow the nugget.
exactly. Yeah, okay. But in the moment, like, say, if it's just anxiety in the moment because of, you know, something that's happening, sometimes it's just as easy, just do a couple rounds of that, and it's like, cool, okay, I feel good. Now I can go do whatever it is that I need to do.
But now, would we leave it feeling that way, like just really like putting the spotlight on that feeling?
No, like, you want to bring yourself to a calm, neutral, right? So, what we usually do is measure it. So if I'm feeling this anxiety, and say I'm feeling it on a scale of 0 to 10, and 10 is like, I'm, you know, off the charts here, I can hardly function, and I say I'm an 8, then as we go through it, then I check back in, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm down to about a 4. Okay, let's do another round. Even though I still have some of this anxiety, I still, you know, either love and accept myself or acknowledge that I'm still feeling some of this in this moment, you know, and even though, and we repeat it.
So do we ever have, so I'm loving that. Honestly, it really is. As soon as we put, you know what, have you ever been in a fight with somebody or angry with somebody, and you're upset because they said something, or they're upset with you because you said something, but you don't know, there's just this tension. And then as soon as one of you comes to the other and says, this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm going through, then you suddenly go, now I can deal with it. Like, even though it doesn't, nothing's changed, you're actually highlighted it, but you do feel better for the knowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the whole thing about coaching or if you're anything is, what happens for our beliefs is, if something's happened in a moment of time, and in that moment, we've had a perspective, and that's what we form our belief on. Mm-hmm. And so we start forming that belief. We don't we forget that there's other sides and other perspectives. So we go about building our beliefs and our systems on that one point in time. And so often, when we work with people, it's like we just turn that a little bit and they're like, oh, I never realized that this and this would have happened, you know, or this is why they were doing that. Mm-hmm. But we take that moment in time and make that belief about ourselves.
I love that. Now, is there, I know when I do them, I have a turnaround. Now, turnarounds aren't for everybody because sometimes you're like, I just can't get there. I just can't get to the turnaround. I don't feel better, or feel good enough. Like, do you strongly believe in a turnaround at all times? Or
no, because you will get there. But the thing is, if you're going to force it, you're going to override something. Right.
Ooh.
So if you can't get there, you're either one, not getting specific enough, or two is you need a coach. And that's where somebody like myself would come in, because we only take ourselves to the point of pain and we're like, no, I'm good. I don't want to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and really, so we need somebody to give us the hand to help us get to the other side and know that it's not that bad.
Or, you know what, another time is like, this is funny. When I was little, oh my goodness, I had the most crazy, oh my gosh, I had the messiest room I think a child could ever have. But it made sense to me because I just wanted to know where everything was. I could see it at all times, right?
Yeah.
what would happen is they'd be like, Lisa, go clean your room. And I'm like, well, it is clean in my world, right? But I'm
absolutely.
Like, I don't know what you're saying. So I go, and what would I do? I pull more stuff out, and then I would be overwhelmed. I mean, I'm 6 years old. Now I've got every single thing on the whole room, on the floor, out in the open. And so sometimes what I'm thinking of right now, somebody taps and things are coming up and all these nuggets are coming up and you're like, oh my gosh, now what? I'm six and I got all my toys out and I don't know what
exactly.
to do with them. And so if they were going to, I'm going to come back to, I just don't want to lose this opportunity. If somebody says, oh yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to try tapping because I'm going to have that messy room like Lisa. So how would I get a hold of Corby? Where would I find her?
Yeah. You can find me on my website at radiantcoresolutions.com, on Facebook, either my own personal page at Corby Furrow or my Radiant Core Solutions Facebook page. And my email addresses and everything are there, so it's easy there. And I work most of my practices, 75% of my practices, I work with people across Canada and the United States over Zoom platform. And it's very effective. And the rest is where I'm located in Edmonton here. The 25% I work with in person.
Wow. So radiantcoresolutions.com.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It just, and because, you know, you're right. Where do we hold our stress? Where do we hold our anger and all that stuff that's right in our core? And when
absolutely.
It's released, it's just like this radiant. I love your business name.
Thanks. Yeah. Because if we aren't radiant from our self-love position, you know, we're not honoring that little self that we're supposed to be, because here's the thing is none of us are free from feeling unworthy or not good enough at some point in our life. It doesn't matter how good of a life or how you were raised. I think we're all slapped with that. And the goal is to find ourselves again, that bright light that we're meant to be.
I love that. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough ending question. I'm putting you right on the spot here. One of your, and every chapter in What Self-Love Got to Do With It, there's lessons learned and mindset tips. And one of your mindset tips, number two, trust the process in yourself. And in 1 minute, I would love for you to tell, but can we achieve trusting ourselves through tapping? And what do you think is the core values of trusting oneself?
I think trusting oneself is knowing that you've got this no matter what, that it doesn't matter what external forces come at you. You are whole in yourself. And as long as you believe that and you know that you are coming from that place of love within yourself, there's nothing that can hurt you. I mean, in a metaphorical sense, you can still get hurt, but it's not names or callings or things that happen. You are in control of your reaction and how you present yourself to that.
I think that's actually beautiful. You said some really key words there. And as I close this, I want to highlight that what Corby is really out there as a transformational coach and helping is to bring you to a place of trusting, which is knowing and having that confidence that not only are you whole, but in your wholeness and as you radiate from your core, that you can love yourself and heal yourself and take on anything, because there are going to be things that show up.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so I want to invite everybody again to go check you out at radiantcoresolutions.com or go to her Facebook page, because it's so much fun. and pick up a copy of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. Yes, of course, you can win it if you just, actually, you should go to Corby's or my page, Lisa Berry, Berry, because if you make a comment and you like it and you share it, you are entered into the draw. Oh, my gosh, and I have to announce the winners. I won't do that now, but I'll put on Facebook of who won last week. But Corby, in this 30 seconds, I wanted to say thank you. And is there any last 30 seconds you would like to share with us?
No, I just think it's a wonderful process, and the feeling that you can have for yourself to be that person that you were meant to be and shine in this world, that's the goal, and you know, and that helps the collective all over of everybody in this world.
Oh, that's beautiful closing remarks. Well, thank you so very much, and join us everybody tomorrow again as we go into yet again another author, another chapter of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And just thank you everybody, and go tap and just enjoy what we have around us that's inside of us already. Well, thank you, Corby. This is so much fun.
Thank you so much. Yes, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.